strapping on to my heels. My kind of style's a little more iffy, but I like the way it feels. I ain't too good in long black dresses. They give me fits when I got a buzz. A little long, rough around the edges, hard like a smoking gun. I ain't scared to let my hair down. Get a whiskey bit and hell bound. Cause she might have been raised a princess. That glass slipper don't fit. And no friend's charm has got a wandering eye.
Welcome in to another episode of the Hippies and Cowboys podcast. I'm your host for today, Mike Garrett, still stuck up in Canada for this one. You just heard It Never Was. It was the first single off of Sydney Adams' latest EP, A Lot Like You. It just came out last Friday, so all of the tracks are available to you right now. You can stream them Spotify, Apple, anywhere you get your music. Go check those out. However, you will hear three of the songs on this show, and we'll give you a taste of one of the songs on there. It is a cover, an unlikely cover, you might say, for a country EP, but Sydney really kind of honky-tonked it up on this one. The backing instrumentation is phenomenal, and she's a very powerhouse vocalist, so I really hope you enjoy her. She's wowed us every chance that we've seen her and just is a joy to have on the show. So enjoy this episode. I really hope you enjoy her music. If you do, go buy it, stream it, whatever. Go buy her merch, SydneyAdamsMusic.com. Yeah, let's get into the show. Thanks for listening, and enjoy this episode. Okay, sweet. I'm here with Sydney Adams, and we're celebrating the new EP that came out Friday. We're trying to get this podcast done when we were just in Kentucky, but didn't work out. My apologies. And then, yeah, we're trying to do it before the EP came out, but now it's out, so you can go listen to all five songs. Yeah. I'm not a math teacher. I can't count. Wait, no, I am a math teacher. Damn it. so you can go listen to all five songs right now if you wanted to, or after the podcast. We're going to play three on here. We started it off with It Never Was, the single that's been out a while. Like,
it's been out
18 months
for over a year. I can try to blame COVID, but it did hinder the process a little bit, but it was just very time consuming on top of staying completely busy with gigging and touring around. Yeah. It was more than I expected. I definitely, by the end of it, am very glad that it's complete and out.
Yeah. I mean, we'll just roll with COVID. Like, we were just waiting on a good time with COVID.
Yeah, so just forget everything I just said, and we're just going to blame it on COVID.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. But I thought, like, maybe a little bit there was some strategy to it. Like, maybe that was your thing, because I was looking at some dates from Always Home to Me, that EP. Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, 2019?
Something guess is like good that. As mine.
But the first single off of that, I Don't Care, that was out pretty a long ways before the EP dropped too.
It was.
So I was like, maybe this is just Sydney's signature, you know, like release one single way ahead and let it marinate, get the hype built up, and then drop the rest.
We'll see on the next EP or the next album if I continue this trend.
Intentionally or not, it's all intentional. Never say it's not intentional. It's all by design.
I haven't seen it pay off yet, but it could happen.
I don't know. I mean, so a little backstory. So, well, let's see. I think we first found out about you in 2 years ago or something like that, year and a half, 2 years ago, from Jonathan, Mr. Meme Man. I think I'll stay here and meme, who I forgot to call him when I told you I would call him. Sorry, I'll call him right after this. But we brought you to the Bell Theater before Laurel Cove last year.
Mm-hmm.
And the person who did all the video on that has not given us any of the video of that. So anyways, I remember, like, we loved your Always Home to Me EP, and I'm like, this, because you're young, you got the whole Kentucky thing going. Like, it sounds like, I don't know what it is about the Kentucky music scene, but it's like, yeah, you hear your music and it's like, yeah, she's from Kentucky, even though the Always Home to Me, like, explicitly says you're from Kentucky. But so it doesn't take a rocket scientist, but you got a lot of good things going. You got pipes, and you went to that theater and you were kind of scared, I want to say.
I was so nervous, and I think that's something that I'll never forget, that performance, because someone, I don't remember who, had asked me, you know, to come and do some songs, and I'm thinking, okay, you know, especially a year and some change ago, I was not a very strong guitar player, like as strong as I am now or as confident as I am now. Yeah. And I was like, sure, I'll come play these couple songs for you, no big deal. Had no idea there was going to be an audience.
Well, yeah, I didn't really either.
had no idea that there was going to be all these other artists there that I looked up to, and everyone went before me, and here I am, dead last, the only girl there doing any songs, and there was no AC in there. It's in June.
Yeah, it's an old theater.
it was an experience. I may have done worse or better than I thought I would do. I kind of blacked out during that performance. No, I think it went all right.
Dude, you blew everyone away on that, because I remember you were super nervous, like, because you went right after Drayton and Cole Chaney.
Yeah, I mean, and that's and not like, hard to fuck follow, that. Right? Yeah. No, yeah.
We're like, nah, it'll be fine. And then, like, there are definitely some people in there, because it was kind of like our Patreon supporters that were, like, in town early. Like, yeah, sure, pop in, I guess. And so there were some people who hadn't, I don't think, had listened to you before, but as soon as you started singing, everyone was like, holy shit, like, this girl's legit. So when you say back to the original thing, when you're like, maybe one time it'll pay off. It's like, it's a matter of a time with you. People will hear your music and be like, okay, this girl's, she's here. So I'm waiting for that.
Well, I really It'll appreciate happen. That. I hope you're right. Yeah.
No, I hope I am too. Cause I'm a big fan. We're all big fans. And, yeah, I hope more people can get to hear the good stuff you have to offer. Whether it's this EP or the next one or whenever an album comes to be, but it'll happen. But yeah, so I guess in the last 4 days, 3 days since the EP dropped, how is everything going? Is it like a
we've established you can't count
in the 3 days? Is it 3 days?
I don't know. Friday. Saturday.
Do you
Sunday,
count Friday is the thing.
See,
Friday,
this
Saturday,
is
Sunday.
Here's
I
that's
think
where
you
I'm at.
Count Friday.
If we're counting Friday, there's 4 days.
Yeah, so 4 days. Okay, so in the last 4 days since the EP dropped, how's it gone? Does it feel different than the last one? I mean, granted, that was several years ago, but...
I think so far the response has been really good. I don't know how it feels in relation to the last one. It's been a while since I released my last EP. Even the single, mm-hmm. you know, was a year or so ago. But I think I'm more confident in who I am as an artist, and that just knowing that I'm happy with it, and knowing that a handful of people are listening to it, and that I'm going to be able to perform them out and, you know, really play my EP out. I plan on doing them like on a tour in August, and several things coming up, a festival season, you know, still underway. So I do plan on really showcasing the EP. And I think that's the difference, is that I have the shows to really show off the EP mm-hmm. this time. And that makes me feel really good as an artist.
Yeah, you've been working pretty hard as far as I can see, playing a lot of shows kind of more locally around the area. I know you're up at Austin City Saloon quite a bit, it seems.
I used to be up there, Lexington area, quite a bit. Yeah. Used to play Moorhead, making my way into Ohio and Indiana and
going north, Illinois. So if
now.
You keep counting over, you go one more state.
I have been to your
You've
state
been to Iowa.
One time.
And I missed it.
One time I went to Iowa.
I don't remember my excuse for missing it, but it was a good one. Because you were at, I like the show, it was at the house of somebody that I know, Leighton Gall. Like,
yeah.
I know that guy.
Yeah.
And he's like, you got to come. And...
And you're just like, oh, I can't. I don't even like this girl. She sucks. I got something going on. It's fine.
Yeah, Sydney's coming. So, like, no, I'm not going to be there. Oh, I don't remember what my excuse was, but it was a good one. And I tried to pull all the stops to make it. But we got to get you back.
I would love to come back. Miss all the corn.
Yeah,
that's about
we got
all
lots
saw.
Of that.
What's
the corn? It's almost waist high this time of year. So it's getting up there.
A lot of windmills like coming out of Indiana, like the largest windmills I've ever seen. So if you all listening have never seen these windmills, you're in for a real treat.
Yeah, it's the highlight of Iowa is driving past the windmills in Indiana on the way here.
It's not even Iowa, it's Indiana.
It's not even, yeah, but it's on the way here, so like we'll take the credit. No, but it seems like you've been working hard. And yeah, you said you're playing some festivals. What are some of those coming up here?
This weekend I have Festival of the Red.
Right.
It's around Red River Gorge. And then July I have Master Musicians Festival.
I'll be down there for that.
Ooh,
for
okay.
the record. So everybody listening to this, come see not just Sydney, but also say hi to me. I'll be there.
Yes.
Somerset, Kentucky. Yeah.
Right after that, sometime, without checking my schedule, all I know is that it's after it, I'll be at Manchester Music Festival.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good artists on both of those. And then September, I'll be at the Chicken Festival, the good old Chicken Festival in London, Kentucky. And that's actually going to be my one of my biggest shows because I'll get to open for Tracy Lawrence and Ward Davis. Oh,
that'll be cool.
So I'm very excited.
Now, the Chicken Festival. Have you been to the Chicken Festival?
Yeah, it's just like
are there
10
chickens?
Miles from where I'm from. It's got the world's largest frying pan for chicken.
Okay, I'm intrigued. I'm going to look up the dates for this.
If you want to know Kentucky stuff, then you need to go to the Chicken Festival.
It sounds like it.
Okay, yeah. So this festival is centered around, like, it's because of KFC.
Okay, so why is it not in Corbin?
Because Corbin's a tri-county, and Laurel County wants to take everything good from us.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. But it is in London, just right up the road from where I'm from, and they have the world's largest frying pan. And a lot of people that dress up like Colonel Sanders. Like, there's a contest.
Okay. I, unfortunately, like, I don't have the build for that. But I feel like I want to enter anyways. Like, I have a mustache. I can dye it white.
Yeah, these people go all out. You can put the wig on, the white suit, the little black tie. You can fool anybody.
I'm all for this. I'll steal whatever suit Tyler Childers wore to the Americana Music Awards a couple years ago. I don't know if you remember that, where he's like dressed like Colonel Sanders. I'll go knock on his door and I'll get that from him.
All right.
And then I'll
Let me know how that goes. If I see you at the Chicken Festival in disguise.
I was told if you step foot on his property, he has a rifle waiting for you. So I'm probably.
I 100% believe that.
Yeah. Yeah. I incidentally, like, was right next to his property last summer after Master Musicians. We went up to Arthur Hancock's cabin.
Mm-hmm.
And it butts up with Tyler's. And I was, and he's like, he was, that's where I heard the story where if you go on his property, he'll meet you with a rifle. And I was like, it's a good thing I didn't know that his property was right there. Otherwise, I probably would have, because we were drinking and stuff. I was like, I probably would have gone and got shot.
There he goes. It's Mike.
I just wanted the Colonel Sanders suit, I swear. Anyways, I guess let's bring it back to this EP here. Where did you record it at? Like, how was the recording process different from kind of the previous stuff you've been doing? Because the instrumentation on this is like a little bit more honky tonk, you know. You got the steel in there, and it's cool. It's like a little less. It's not quite what I was expecting, you know. Like, Always Home to Me is like a little bit more bluegrass instrumentation, and here you like honky tonked it up a bit, which is awesome.
So this EP was recorded at the same place that the first EP was recorded, at Gem City Studios in Jellico, mm-hmm. Tennessee, by my good friend Matt McQueen. Mm-hmm. And had some of the same musicians played on it. Like, I know the drummer's the same, and maybe bass. I'm not certain on that. But the only difference is Matt, he is growing as a producer in his own right. But my influences for each album have definitely changed just because of, like, what I'm doing at the time. When I recorded Always Home to Me, I was going to bluegrass music school.
Yeah.
So
okay. I didn't know that. That's cool.
I had, like, just finished or was, like, about to finish going to bluegrass music school. So that's where that stuff came from. Like, the more bluegrassy feel, nothing was, you know, honky-tonk for sure, I don't think, in my first EP.
No, not...
But all that I've been doing for the last 3 years is playing in bars and, you know, I guess life has made me a little bit harder. So I can't, my stuff's more honky tonk.
That's how it works, right? Life
life
makes you harder and then honky tonk.
Yeah.
I like that.
And then right before this EP was released, I actually wrote my first murder ballad. So We'll see how much harder life will make me, and if I'll continue writing murder ballads instead of light bluegrass songs.
I mean, everybody should appreciate, if they don't already, a good murder ballad. So.
It's all about balance, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be exciting. Wait. It'll be on the next one, the murder ballad?
No promises. I just finished it, but it's my favorite song that I've written. So it may end up.
Okay. So I guess, are you like already looking to get back in the studio? Because like, when did you record? Did you record it all like when you recorded It Never Was back? Way back when, or
no.
It's kind of been a process. Okay.
It was more of coming in a couple times and then letting the other people add their parts in and then coming back and doing like the final vocal and then doing the harmonies, you know. It was just a bunch of different layers.
Okay. So not quite anxious to get back into the studio.
I actually am, because going back on what you said, my releases have been pretty far apart, and I feel like I have a little bit of momentum right now where if I could just hurry up and get into the studio and, you know, get something out as a single for maybe a full album, then that would be really badass.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So yeah, you got to get on releasing that first single. So like, a year and a half from now, you can release the rest of the album.
See, exactly. We're on the same page.
Sorry, I had to throw that jab in there. that's the intentional.
Is it release. A jab if it's like very true and I agree?
It's just jokes, man. Just joking. So all of your shows have been acoustic. You were playing with a acoustic guitar player, kind of playing lead, I know, this time last year. Any works on getting like a band together for a live
show? I actually do have a full band.
You do now?
Mm-hmm. I've had a full band for 3 years since I started.
What?
Yeah.
I just haven't seen it. I'm sorry.
I just get
My
asked
apologies.
To do acoustic openers. Or acoustic openers or acoustic slots at festivals, because, I mean, I think maybe last year, then that's where I was, but yeah, that's where I'm at.
Like, when you're playing MMF, is that going to be full band, or is that acoustic also? Master musicians.
That one is just acoustic, and that's just me. Okay. Sometimes I do have a partner like backing me up, but that sets it's like 25 minutes, so that's just me.
Oh, yeah. I gotcha. Well, interesting. I'll definitely have to catch one of those shows full band, because the albums, like, or the EPs are full band and awesome, so like, yeah, that'd be exciting to see.
Festival of the Red, that this upcoming weekend, it is full band.
All right. I obviously can't make that, but anybody listening, like, I'm going to put this out like right away. You'll have time to book an Airbnb or something, like, get out there. And Red River Gorge is awesome too. Like, I felt so bad, because I had, like, going back to me, like, being a fan of you, like, when I was helping Drayton out, and we had him coming up to Red River Gorge, and he's like, part of our deal was like, we want to book the opener, because we don't want some, you know, schmuck coming in. Like, you were the first person on the list. So, like, we got to get Sydney. Like,
I really liked that. That was a good show. Drayton's just ridiculously talented.
Well, that's why I had to put you up there too, you know, get two talented, ridiculously talented people up.
Up on
stage. But, but anyways, I felt bad I couldn't go to that one, because I was like, geez, of all the shows on that run, it's like, that would be a cool one to go to. I made Drayton take a bunch of pictures.
That's probably
that
like
place
a
seemed awesome.
11-hour drive for you, so.
No, I think, so Lexington is like 8.
Okay.
So it's not that bad.
Okay. from where it's not I'm great. At, from where I'm at in Kentucky, going to where I went in Iowa, it was 10 hours. And by the time we stopped, it was 11. So
yeah. That's like going to Laurel Cove for us. It's supposed to be 10 hours to Pineville. And then there is that damn traffic, whatever interstate that is by Mount Vernon.
Oh, yeah.
And then we stopped a couple times, but it took 12 hours to get down there. It's like, geez.
Anyone listening knows the struggle of I-75 traffic. I think Jesus is going to come back before they finish the construction on I-75.
I swear we had the same issue last year. Like, we tried to cut up some mountain roads because it was, like, raining, and, like, I guess no one knows how to drive on that road when it's raining. And then there might have also been construction, but we tried to take some back road detour, but, like, 200 other people also wanted to take that detour.
Yep.
And it ended up taking even longer to get back onto the interstate.
Yes.
Chaos. So we didn't do that this time and still got probably canceled out. It's probably the same amount of awful traffic. But anyways, I-75 South, I can do without. So my Somerset, I can cut. I don't have to take it. I can cut down earlier.
There's your move right there.
That's the move. But anyways, let's get to our second song off the new EP. Again, that's A Lot Like You. It's available now for everybody. And we're going to do, let's do the title track, A Lot Like You. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't know if you have anything you want to say about this one, like maybe how, you know, what it made the cut as the title track.
This song was just too good to not make the title track.
yeah.
I think everyone can relate to mm-hmm. this song, and after everything that's happened the last 2 years or so, I think everyone can definitely relate to it. And I've played it out acoustic a couple times before, and the crowd response was just like, you know, it was kind of a no-brainer for me.
I'm a lot like you.
All right, that's the title track, A Lot Like You. And we're still here with Sydney. Contrary to popular belief, I did not scare her away in the break. So she's still bearing with me here. But what might scare her away is the rapid fire segment that I did not tell her about.
Oh,
coming up,
shoot.
Right around the corner. But I'll let you fear over that for the next 5 minutes or so, because there's another song that I want to talk about on the EP that when I saw it on there, it didn't even register to me the first time what it was like, because it's called Royals. I was like, could just like it. It didn't click until I played it, but you threw a Lord track on the EP.
Heck yeah.
And I love it because it's a bold choice, because it's such a huge song, or at least whenever it came out, it was huge. But I don't know. I'm not personally the biggest Lord fan. I'd much rather listen to the version with Pedal Steel crying in the background. But that's maybe that's just me, but I don't think it is. But how'd that come to fruition, like throwing that one on there?
My band and I, we've just been playing it out like forever, it felt like, and people just would go nuts when we would play it. And we'd start to play like the same venues that would have us back every so often, and the people would be like, you gotta play that, you gotta play Royals, you gotta play that song. And then I had several people tell me that they like the country version better than they like the original version. So
I agree with those people.
And I just had a blast. I have a blast singing it. And it didn't hit me like, oh, this is a big song, you know, I hope it the people like it when I release it. I was just,
yeah.
It was more of just like, it's more of my own song now. It didn't hit me of, you know, it doesn't feel like somebody else's song anymore just because of how country we've made it.
Totally. That all makes sense. And it's a great song, too, to showcase the vocals, because you got powerhouse vocals, and that's a good song to do it.
Well, thank you.
We're not going to play the whole thing on here, because we have to make the people go, like, click the link to the EP, like, go to Spotify or Apple Music, or, you know, buy it, for God's sakes, buy the thing. But go listen to the full thing. But we'll play a clip. But yeah, so there's the 10-second clip. But that goes along with kind of, I assume, a lot of artists take crowd reaction into account for like trying out new songs or even covers into what goes on the EP. You mentioned A Lot Like You. Part of the reason it became the title track is from the crowd, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's cool. So you're probably in that phase now, also trying out some of the newer ones, like potentially that murder ballad.
Yeah. I've only played this song out one time because it's so new. But
yeah.
I've only played it out once, and I don't know if you know Ted Messer or not.
That sounds familiar.
He's kind of a local celebrity in Kentucky, okay. Local to Kentucky. He goes around and Facebook live streams everybody
Maybe that's how I know him.
Do you? Okay, so he really, you've probably met him. He is a great guy, but he was there and he came up to me. He said, "Oh my gosh." He said, "I love that song, but that's kind of surprising." That's what he said. He couldn't believe that I wrote it. And I was like, "Yep, we're going from Always Home to Me and I Don't Care, like sweet little songs, to me talking about my abusive husband, like passing out from drinking so much, me shooting him and then catching the house on fire."
Now, what does your real husband think about that song?
I showed him the song. I played it for him. And I was like, "I'm obsessed. Like, this is my favorite song I've ever written. I'm so proud of it." And he was like, "That's great, but these people are going to think that I hit you."
Yeah.
I was like, "Okay, clearly you don't hit me and you're still alive. So I clearly did not murder you." So
right.
Not real.
He's got nothing to worry about.
Wishful thinking, Dylan, if you're listening. No, I'm just kidding.
I always think that's funny when it's like, yeah, like what do the spouses think? I know Ben Todd, we did a thing with him, and he played a new song or something, and he's like, "Yeah, Ashley hates this one." It's like, it's not real, but like makes her look bad or something. Like, yeah, doesn't that make sense? But yeah, that's, yeah, going from, you know, so great to live in Southeast Kentucky, you know, it's so beautiful.
Everything's
killing
so
my
sweet.
Husband.
Look out.
That's great. I'm excited to see that. Maybe I need to tune into some of Ted's live streams more often.
He did live stream that.
He did?
Oh, yeah. But
so if I go back on the archives.
So much. I'll have to find that and I'll send it to you.
I'm pretty sure I'm Facebook friends with him because that name sounds familiar in a way where, like, that would be why.
You probably are. He's kind of famous in his own right.
All right. I'll look up the famous Ted Messer on Facebook and find the new song. And to everybody out here listening, I guess you can do the same thing if you want to hear the new murder ballad. But yeah, do you have a lot of other songs that are kind of you're trying out the live scene?
I'm always writing little tidbits of songs, but that's the only one that I've tried out. I have several that are in my notes, but not that I've played out.
I gotcha. Well, we'll stay tuned for all of that. Anyways, here. I know. Before Rapid Fires, I want to talk about your little Christmas project up at Austin City.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't really have, like, any explicit questions about it, but I thought that was a cool idea. Like, how'd that come to be? It was, like, a live Christmas record from Austin City Saloon,
yeah,
right?
So my producer, he's the one that produced that album as well, and he was kind of, like, brought some of his equipment into, like, a closet of that bar and just set it up, and that's where I went and recorded in a closet, and I did a couple different things on that album, but my main song was Hard Candy Christmas by the Queen, Miss Dolly Parton. And that was before I had finished my EP that I recorded that, before I'd recorded probably a majority of the songs on my EP. And at the time, that Christmas song was my favorite song that I had recorded, like, to date.
Really?
Yeah, it was really fun. That song was really fun. I'm happy with how it turned out.
Yeah, I was just curious how it came to be. It's, you know, Christmas.
I think
Christmas albums like that, especially live ones, are, you know, not everybody does that. So it was
I think the owner of the bar and my producer wanted to put it together. And something that's literally the only reason they did it. So, like, that's how it came to be. They just wanted to do it, and they wanted to put the bar's name on it. So that's how it came to fruition. But,
yeah, that's cool.
That was recorded, like, a year before it was released.
Really?
Yes.
I figured that it was pretty bang-bang. I figured you just had to show up there and, like, all right.
So during that time, COVID was like very all over the place. Like,
yeah,
nothing was happening. I think that they were kind of like just bored, so they wanted to do this Christmas album at the time. Like, there was not a lot happening.
Mm-hmm.
So with COVID, everyone is short-staffed, and I even the distribution website short-staffed, I guess, because it took an extra like 5 months to get those, because they're not our songs, they're just Christmas songs, like cover Christmas songs. It took like 5 months for us to get the rights to be able to do that.
Oh shit.
So they were not released when we thought they were going to be released. They weren't even released like 6 months later. They were released a full year later.
You can't release them 6 months later. It's got to be around Christmas.
I mean, we could have done like a Christmas in July, but I don't think it would have went well.
I would have. I'm anti that. It's like, I mean, granted, we could technically play one of those songs on this podcast, but it's June, and that's ridiculous. If it's not December, you can't play it. I mean,
Christmas
you can
only
say,
happens at Christmas.
Well, I mean, you can maybe make a case for like right after Black Friday. Technically still November.
Too soon.
But
I'm with you.
I agree. I think that's too soon. I mean, Christmas songs are special. You hear them the one time of the year and you can't wear them out. Outside of Merry Christmas from the Family, Robert Earl Keen, that one can probably be played year round for me. Or there's one from Dropkick Murphys that's pretty good too. I could listen to that now.
Well, I know what you're going to be doing when we get off of this call here.
I'm going to be editing this podcast because I'm responsible. But
and listening to Christmas music.
No. No. No, ma'am. No, I'd imagine the like getting the rights to Royals had to have been a similar battle, right?
I had so much stress and anxiety after the Christmas incident of not getting those songs, you know, able to release. I was so worried about Royals. My whole family was worried about Royals. But when I went to put it in, it came back fairly quickly that it was it was able to be released at the date that I had selected. So,
whew.
I only gave them like 2 weeks, the distribution site. Yeah.
Oh,
I got
shit.
Everything in. I was like, we're just running with it. I didn't have like a long drawn out, amp up for my release. I literally had 2 weeks and the distribution site like gave me a message and was like, ooh, you're cutting it close. I was like, yeah, I know. Thanks.
What's that mean? Like, can I do it though?
Is it going to happen or not?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a good artist to choose though, because Lord's just like a middle-aged guy in the mountains of Colorado. So, like, probably doesn't have a lot else going on.
Exactly.
That's a South Park reference to anybody that doesn't get that. Randy Marsh is Lord. Okay. No, I know. I knew you wouldn't get it. You're shaking your head at me.
It was still funny, though, imagining that.
It is funny even if you don't like South Park. That's a pretty good one to watch. I think that's like a whole season of Randy Marsh is Lord. But anyways, we're going to amp up the goofiness here. We're going to take you to rapid fire questions. That's what you've been dreading since I mentioned it.
No, I'm psyched.
Oh, you do? Yeah, you gave the finger guns. That's
I'm stoked for this.
So these are like hardly rapid. They're just kind of like goofy get to know you questions.
Oh, okay.
It's not like trivia or nothing. Who was the 18th president of the United States? No.
Next question.
Okay, so I'm getting in the spirit of Kentucky here. I cracked out open two of my Country Boy Brewing Cougar Bait beers that I always enjoy drinking down in Kentucky, and I smuggled a few of those back with me. But what is your favorite Kentucky food or beverage product? Because there's some like diehard, like, you go to Kentucky and they're like, you gotta have this.
Ooh. You know? Okay. You probably ask anybody that question from Kentucky and they'll probably say L8 or something.
That's exactly what I was
thinking. Just now, like, I don't drink that much pop, or I don't know what y'all call it up there, soda or whatever.
No, it's pop. It's pop.
But I just recently got into L8 and I really like it. And it's everywhere I play. Like,
it's everywhere.
Every festival, everything, there's L8. So it was just meant to happen this way.
I get it. I'm not a ginger ale like person, but to me that it tastes less like ginger ale and more like Sprite. Mm-hmm. I don't know necessarily what the difference is, but it tastes more like a pop to me. So yes. I do like it. We went to Buffalo Trace Distillery on the way back and we had lunch there and I got an L8. It was pretty good. It was not my first one, but tasted good with the barbecue that I had. So, get that. Also, congratulations. I noticed when I was in Kentucky, because in Iowa, I mean, that's Casey's Pizza, right? That's the go-to, a gas station called Casey's. They got the best pizza.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, it's good. Kentucky is getting Casey's Pizza. All right. I saw a whole billboard that said future home of Casey's Pizza when I was down there.
Listen, all these big gas stations are coming for Kentucky. We just now got a Buc-ee's and...
I saw the Buc-ee's. We drove past the Buc-ee's because I wasn't driving. That made me mad. But, but yeah, I did see the Buc-ee's. That's up pretty close to Richmond, right?
Yeah, like don't even think about going there during the daytime, like while the sun is out. There's too many people. It's the best thing that's happened to the area in a while.
No, don't talk that mess. There's Casey's coming. I mean, that's the best thing. You guys are getting Casey's. I want to hear about Buc-ee's. Although Buc-ee's is built to house like a lot of people. It's a huge place. That's the point of it. There's supposed to be a lot of people there. But, yeah, I don't know. I feel like Buc-ee's should just stay in Texas.
It's like less of a gas station, more of like an amusement park or something, minus the rides.
What's an amusement park without the rides?
I don't know, like kettle corn and like praline, like homemade pralines and all these things that you can do in there. I don't know. It's just like this grand thing. It's amusing.
Yeah. I guess it's amusing. Okay. An amusement gas station. We'll roll with that. All right, let's do what's your biggest pet peeve?
Oh, I have plenty.
The biggest one.
Oh no, I don't like when people chew and like smack food.
Yep, that's my absolute number one.
Just to follow that up, I realized today that I also don't like when people don't pick their feet up when they walk.
Oh, gosh, that's so annoying, right?
This guy had on slides, and he was just, like, scooting his feet. Like, he wouldn't even pick his feet up. I'm like, is this what we have come to? You can't pick your feet up. You can't pick your little slider feet up to step. Like, this is where we are.
Yeah. The falling of man. No, I agree with all these. Okay. Great answers. We'll go with... So, this one... It's like a greatest fear question, but I want to spice it up a little bit because I was watching a TikTok this morning, actually, where it was like those giant towers, like the radio towers, like they're like 1,500 feet tall and like they'll pay you like $20,000 to go change the light bulb, but you have to climb all the way up. Okay, so what is like not just the greatest fear, but what's something that like money you couldn't pay you enough money to do that. Cause like that one, like you couldn't $20,000. I'm still not doing that. Right. Like,
oh, I don't know. Maybe like something really basic. If some of these people think it's basic, but like fly an airplane or something, like that's just too much pressure. And I know I would crash it. I wouldn't get the money is what I'm saying. I would die. There would be no money being handed to me at the end.
That's how I feel. Like, I'd get a third of the way. Maybe not, that's even ambitious, up that tower. And like, I'd have a panic attack and fall to my death. It's like,
exactly.
I don't get the $20,000 anyways.
The pilots, okay, or people in the military listening to this right now are very disappointed in me.
Well, pilots even worse, because like, you're also like, the tower thing, like, only you die, I guess. But like, a pilot, like, other people.
Even if it was just me on the plane, it's still a no.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, another recent event inspired one, because we made the fatal mistake this weekend of going to a wedding immediately after we went floating the river all day. So I was pretty exhausted. I was beat, and I was sunburnt from work like all week too. So I was tired, and not very ambitious to get onto the dance floor. But one song was played, and it was enough motivation to get me up. So put yourself in that headspace where you really don't want to dance. You're tired. What's the one song? Yes, that's very good. Yep.
I'm thinking. Okay.
What's the one song that will get you up onto the dance floor?
Probably Born to Boogie.
Born to Boogie?
Yeah.
All right. All right. My typical one is Shoot by Salt and Peppa, which they played at the wedding, but then it was like a teaser. Like, he cut the song like 20 seconds in. I was like, I just started to like sing along.
That was just pumped enough to get you out there.
Yeah, and I sat then my butt back down. So he cut it to something that I didn't like. But all right, that's all I have for rapid fires.
It was not that rapid. I was prepared for much worse.
No. It's an intimidating name, but it's,
yeah,
they're not rapid at all. But regardless, you survived it. You did a great job. And that is our closing segment of the podcast. So not only did you survive the rapid fires, you also survived Hippies and Cowboys podcast with solo mic, which is like bonus points to survive an entire podcast with just me. So you did great. But for all y'all listening, be sure to go check out the new EP on anywhere you can get your music, SydneyAdamsMusic.com. I didn't mess that up, right? You got to correct me if I'm wrong
correct
on any of this.
That is correct.
Okay, perfect. For everything, tour, you can, I'm sure there's links to the new music there, merchandise.
Yes.
As I have a pretty sick Sydney Adams t-shirt. It's the same one you have on right now. But
yeah, don't judge me.
Gosh, I should have worn it. Could have been matching.
I live in my merch. Sometimes it's fine. I'm no, not a narcissist.
I do it too. I mean, look behind me. I got this whole rack here. I'll be like, I forgot a hat. Like, I'll just grab one off. Whatever. But yeah, definitely go check out this EP. We're giving you a pretty good taste on here, but you know, purchase it, go buy some merch and support Sydney, great musician, and glad you came on the show. So a lot of bright things in your future.
Well, thank you very
much. If my prediction's correct.
But I hope that you are correct.
Me too. All right. We're going to end it on a sad song, and like, it's, well, that's tricky because it's called a sad song, but it,
yes,
also kind of is a sad song. But yeah, I'll let you take it out with a little intro to this one. I know it's one of your favorites, one of my favorites on the EP, and a good way to end it. But thanks for coming on, and I'll let you take it out.
Thank you. This song was actually not initially included on the EP. I had another song tracked. It was a co-write. It was like 75% finished, and I was just listening to it, and I was like, this is sucks. Like, this was horrible. I don't want to release this. So I told Matt, my producer, I said, I'm not going to release this song. I don't want to release it. It's not good. Really, it wasn't. So he was like, well, what do you have? Like, we're kind of just dragging this thing out. Like, what do you have written? And so I'm going through my phone, and I have this song already written. And it's, like, one of the only songs that's finished. and I was kind of going through something at the time, so I chose it. It was like one of the sadder songs I've written, and there was someone there. When I write, I'm more of the lyrics. I write like poems, long poems, yeah. And then if a melody comes to me, it comes to me, but most times it doesn't. So there's someone there, his name's Curtis, and he said, well, let me just try to find some chords here and, you know, find the key that works for you. So he starts strumming through something like super simple for him. And he said, try to sing that to this. And I did. And when I did, I started crying.
Oh,
so
boy.
I knew that it was meant to happen this way.
Mm-hmm.
And that song is supposed to be included on the EP. And we tracked it like that day. And I knew I wanted it to be really simple and fairly acoustic, you know. So all that to say that right when I recorded that, maybe a month and a half later, my grandmother passed away.
I'm sorry.
And she was always supportive of my music, and it's on my dad's side of the family. And he and my aunt asked if they could play that song at her funeral. And, you know, respecting their wishes, I was not about to tell my dad no, you know. So I said yes. And it just really meant a lot to my family. And it didn't start off as a song for, like, necessarily loss or, like, remembrance of someone else. But that's, like, definitely what it became and, like, what it means to me now. So, yeah, it's the way that it turned out. I'm very pleased with it. It's super simple at the end of the album. It's my favorite song on the EP for multiple reasons. But I'm really, really glad it's on there and that I didn't go with that other song. But it happened the way it was supposed to happen. And the title, A Sad Song, we were tracking it, and Matt said, well, what are you going to call it? And I said, I don't know. I mean, there's nothing really in here that stands out. I said, what about just a sad song? I said, this is a super sad song. So that's what we went with. And one of the first lyrics in the song is, ain't got to hear a sad song. So this is that sad song.
Sad song to remind me of you, 'cause I still feel your memory, yeah, and everything I do. Side. home, baby.